to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Kim.
And I'm Vicky.
And this is Doug with the episode synopsis, Season 3, Episode 4, Queen for a Day. Pete's ex-wife visits the bed and breakfast and mistakenly picks up an artifact that can ruin her wedding day. Claudia and Steve have to infiltrate a Civil War reenactment to retrieve an artifact. Created by Brent Mote and Jane Espenson. Written by Holly Harold. Executive Story Editor, Derek A. Hughes. Directed by Jeremiah Chechik. Original air date, August 1st, 2011.
Okay, we're back with Season 3, Episode 4, Queen for a Day. And the artifacts of the week from Wiki Warehouse are Hatshepsut's Golden Beehive. It's a small golden beehive belonging to the second female pharaoh of Egypt. She infused the artifact with pheromones of real honeybees. She would sting herself with the bee in order to manipulate people with the same pheromones that the queen bee uses to control other bees. If left unchecked, people affected by the pheromones go insane with obsession and often go to the extreme and violent lengths to protect their queen. Her subjects eventually try to mummify her husband alive for fear he'd take her place as pharaoh. And then the other artifact that they're looking for is Ulysses S. Grant's flask. Ulysses S. Grant carried this flask during battles, and it eventually absorbed the energy of the soldiers in chaos. Those who drink from the flask begin to seriously believe they are on a battlefield during the Civil War and act accordingly. Okay, this week, Kim starts.
Alrighty. I don't know. I think I'm kind of being sarcastic in a lot of this stuff because some of this stuff in this episode didn't need to be.
Okay.
Anyway, already said they find out that Pete got an ex-wife, Amanda Lattimore. She's in the Marines. So anyway, she brings him this comic book, and instead of just coming out and saying, Pete, I need my ring back, she brings him this comic book, and he knows this is not what she's here for.
Right. She uses that as an excuse to show up.
Right. And then, you know, at one point, they have this moment that just drags. Pete's talking, but he's just talking. Like, get to the point and say, yeah, I messed up, whatever, whatever.
Oh, when he's apologizing or doing his 12-step?
Yes!
Oh, okay.
It's so annoying. And it's like, it seems like it's the whole episode. And it's like, even when Lena says something about Amanda being there, why are you walking around and just saying, yo, Pete's ex-wife is here? Because there's no love thing going on. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, they're all just so nosy about everything.
Right.
If it's something that they didn't know, that's all it needs to be, is something that they didn't know.
Right. And I mean, Pete tells them later on, he didn't want them to look at it because he was at his worst. He was a drunk. He wasn't the person that he was today.
Right.
You know what I mean? So given that fact, it was just like so much, I don't know, it's like everybody bothered me today.
Now you've seen her. Yeah. You've seen her. Yeah. She's seen you. Everybody's seen everybody. So now everybody is going to go. Here we go. Out the door. Bye-bye. So long. Attaboy. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
Married. You were married.
I don't believe you. Can't I have any privacy around here?
I'm going to go kind of sidetracked because my whole thing was, okay, I kept on looking at Amanda Lattimore going, I know her from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So this is where the ball starts to just rumble. So at first, I thought that she looks like Frances Fisher to me.
I guess I could see that a little bit, yeah.
Okay, we went from there. Then I go, well, the two of them together looks like Marge, is it Marg?
Marg Helgenberger?
Yes.
Yeah, you always have a problem with Frances Fisher and Marg Helgenberger.
Now I added another one to the picture. Really?
No.
That's the girl, because her name is Jerry Ryan.
Right.
And I'm going, oh my God, they all three look alike. they favor each other. But I keep on thinking, I know these women in certain parts. And I said, I really never really watched China Beach. I really never watched Star Trek. But why do these women always stay in my head? But they always need a strong woman's role.
Well, Marg Helgenberger was in CSI, the original one, for years.
Right.
So you know her from that, probably.
Right, yeah.
Since we're talking about Jerry Ryan, she's the fifth Star Trek actor to appear in Warehouse 13. And she's the third regular Star Trek cast member. So she played 7 of 9 in Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
And we already saw Charlie from the Warehouse in the 60s. He was a series regular in Deep Space Nine. And Hugo Miller was a series regular in Deep Space Nine. And then I forgot, you know the bald regent who shows up every once in a while?
Yes.
He was in the Star Trek 2009 Kelvin Timeline reboot movie. And Artie was actually in a popular Next Generation episode, The Most Toys. So technically there's five, but this is the third regular Star Trek series character.
Oh, okay.
But Jeri Ryan, there was an old show. It was called Boston Public. It was about a school, a high school.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
She was one of the teachers.
Yeah, but I remember even watching that briefly. Like, there was nothing that I seemed like I watched constantly. Like, that was my show for a minute.
Did you watch Leverage at all?
Nope. Mm-mm. And not Leverage either.
Like I said, she was in Star Trek, and now she's even back as Seven of Nine in the new Star Trek Picard series, too. I mean, she's in so many things. Like, I'm sure you've seen her in something.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I guess they just got that face that I just remember.
Yeah.
So anyway, the other thing is, I don't even know why it was thrown in there, because it seemed like they didn't have that big of a part, like maybe 25% of the episode, when Claudia and Steve went to this reenactment to get the flask. I mean, really?
Right, but I think that's how it's going to be, because now there's two sets of partners.
Yeah, but do we really need that other one? Can't you just... Do they need to necessarily always be in the episode?
I guess, because they're regular characters. But you know what? In this episode, I liked the wedding part of it, but I kind of liked the Steve and Claudia.
I liked the point where they were bonding, but some of it was still, to me, unnecessary. I think at one point, even with them digging for the flask and, you know, being on the field, and they realized, you know, the crazy idiot Johnson has the flask. But we're looking for the flask. We realize this is the guy. He's acting like an idiot. And then she puts the dress on and she saves him. They get the flask and he has a sister moment.
Right. And I think that's probably what that was all about.
Yeah, they could have did it just like I said it.
Earlier when you were saying how Pete's ex-wife showed up and they all have to announce it to everybody. And I said they're all just nosy people.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia did the same thing to Steve. He mentions his sister, and she immediately has to go investigate.
Right. It's just like, he gave you a moment, and then you're going to blow that moment?
Yeah.
I would have been pissed. Because I would have been like, you didn't give me a chance to let me tell you about my sister.
Right.
But we just got back to the warehouse. We're just getting things taken care of. Give me a minute.
Right. And the one I was surprised at was Artie, because Artie usually doesn't care. At the beginning, when the ex-wife was there, Artie came in just to see her. He pretended like, oh, hi. Yeah. You know.
Well, I would have wanted to see who Pete was dealing with, too, to a certain degree.
Yeah, but it's one thing to want to get a look, and it's another thing to keep interrupting. I mean, your ex-wife doesn't come and visit you. I mean, most ex-wives don't come and visit randomly. So you got to imagine there's something specific she's there for, and these doofuses keep coming in and interrupting.
Right.
They're annoying when they know that they don't know something.
Right.
And you, me, sneaking around.
Not sneaking. There was no sneaking. Sneaking.
Married.
Okay. Show's over.
Yes, absolutely right, Mike. I am ashamed of you nosing around like that. This man needs his privacy.
And then, Micah, now, if you want to go get this beehive, why is it just sitting on the table?
They put it on the table and leave it alone with somebody? Really?
Why was it in the bag?
Exactly.
And I'm just like, oh, God. Here
right.
We go.
She carried it all the way from Dubai in her carry-on, not bagged.
Right.
And then put it down on the table in the bread and breakfast and left it there with a guest.
Right. And if I was to walk in, I would have picked it up. And I have this thing about bees. So I would have been like, oh, cool. This is so cool. Right. And then the next thing you know, falls it up in her bag. Nobody knew where this story was going.
As soon as she put it down, you knew where it was going.
Right. When she came in and picked it up, you knew where it was going.
Right. As soon as she took it out of her bag, not bagged, you knew.
Yeah. I was just like, okay.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dud Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you're also a fan of Eureka. And if you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
But the funny part was, well, Rebecca said she got a type.
So that was the groom, huh?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Well, your ex definitely has a type.
I was cracking up. That was funny. She got a type. Because, yeah, you're military. You kind of look alike.
Yeah,
you know, if you keep that same hairdo and he's just not as kiddish as you.
Yeah.
He did a corny little joke, but, yeah, she got a type.
Yeah.
You know, and it's supposed to be so awkward for Micah, but how awkward is it if this is just your ex-wife? So some of it was just annoying to a certain degree. I did like the story, though, about the queen bee. So I did like that. And like already, even between being sick, he was trying to figure out the hieroglyphics. And the end was that she couldn't handle it. She couldn't handle them, the worker bees.
Right.
She couldn't control them.
And I think Artie said the description said at some point she's not going to be able to control them because they're just going to do anything they could do to protect her.
Right.
Yeah.
That was real funny when they took the in-laws. Oh. I'm going, wow, that was quick.
And their face at the end.
Yes. Mushrooms.
There was a bit of a problem with the bridal party.
Mushrooms. Yeah, everybody ate wild mushrooms at their rehearsal brunch and kind of went on a bad trip.
And they looked a total mess. Oh, my goodness. As always, they do work together as a team and get things taken care of. When you talk about Star Trek, one of the guys on the field walking by and goes, oh, you damn Trekkies, and talk about the time travel, given the fact that she was on Star Trek.
That was funny. I wrote that down, too.
Damn Trekkies. Always crashing the party, pretending they're time travelers.
And I guess sometimes I really don't pay no mind until you got to really think about it. And
yeah.
Like, you see it everywhere. So a lot of things kind of, you know, interplay with each other.
Yeah.
I did like the part when they had to get the stinger. Even though she said it might hurt a bit, I don't think it really did. And the stinger just came out and it went back in and they bagged it again. Because you got to realize, too, when they bagged it, it sparked.
Right.
You might want to duck.
Oh, there you go. Bam. Well, no dead bodies, no mass destruction, no swarm of killer bees. Although I gotta tell you, it did cross my mind.
So much for Artie's law. And what was that? Some kind of weapon?
That is your wedding being saved.
Okay, so the good news is that it is over.
And they all thought that it was taken care of. But we have said it before. If it does a spark, you know that ain't it.
Yeah, but it had already stung her, and they didn't know that. Yeah.
Right.
Artie's law.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wedding, Pete. Why would we need our Teslas?
What is this, Pete?
And usually when bees sting, the stinger is left behind or it falls off.
Right.
And they die. So that's the other part that I kind of got confused at. But the other thing that I like, she gave another little piece of Pete's history when he was kicked out of the Boy Scouts at 10 for starting a fire.
Yeah, and I like their relationship. They had no animosity towards each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of times when she said, well, she said specifically once that it's amazing, it still throws her how much they know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And most times when they go after an artifact, it takes them a long time to convince the victim of what's going on.
Right.
And she believed them right away. She trusted him enough to know that when they came to the wedding, all I was thinking is, oh, Pete's going to come to this wedding and she's going to think he's there to break it up. And blah. You know, that was my first thought. And I was like, why did he go? They should have sent Claudia or somebody else.
Mm.
That's what I saw coming. But it went a totally different way. She believed them and she wanted to help them. And it didn't take much convincing for her to believe them because she trusts him and they get along.
Right.
Yeah. So I kind of like that.
Yeah, they did have good chemistry. But when they came to their sloppy moments, that's when it got to yada, 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 yada. Yada, yada, yada. Come on, you gotta say, girl, come on, spit it out. Yes, relationship. Yes, both sides, both people. Come on. All right, let's go. Oh, come on. Okay, and the other question I had, I know I remember this, but for some reason, I did forget it. Artie's law.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the first time this came up or if we talked about that before.
We did talk about it before, because it's something about if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
it's something kind of like in that. line.
It sounded like it was kind of like Murphy's Law.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What could go wrong, Will, or whatever that is. Or if it's too easy, it's not complete or something.
Yeah. Something like that. But we discussed it before, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, it sounds like if it's too easy to fix, then you didn't really fix it.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that can happen is going to happen. Like Pete said, are you telling me my ex-wife on the day of her wedding has an artifact?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, to me. And you know, come on, yes, yeah. Of course. And, you know.
No! No, 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 no! An artifact did not fall into my ex-wife's bag on her way to her perfect fairy tale wedding. No, that did not happen.
Artie's law of artifacts states the worst thing that can happen with an artifact will happen with an artifact.
And, you know, Pete was like saying before about the reason why he really didn't want to talk about his past.
Right.
To a certain degree of what he was. And at one point, he should be proud of where he came from and how far he came.
Yes.
But, you know, they had a little discussion. And then at the end, with even Artie smiling at Claudia and Steve, I like that part because even though he's older, Claudia is still closer to Steve's age than to Micah and Pete. Now she got kind of like a kinship with him.
Right. And Artie's happy about that, obviously, because that's all Artie wanted. Was for her to lead a normal life or lead the life she wants, but she's surrounded by people who are older than her. Not ancient people, but, you know, everybody right. around her is older than her. She's only 19 or something. That makes Artie happy. But the funny thing is, through this whole thing, he was sneezing. And I kept thinking that was going to be something.
Oh.
You know, he was sneezing, like, continuously through this whole episode. And I kept thinking that was going to mean something.
Oh, no, just basically medical or allergies.
I guess, but it was just so obnoxious because he was just always sneezing. And then at the end, when he was watching Claudia and Pete, he wasn't.
Yeah, it seemed like it might have been days later he was feeling better.
Maybe. And then I kind of started thinking it was a setup for Claudia and Pete to have to go out together. Not Claudia and Pete, Claudia and Jinx. I think I said Pete before, too. Although they've been out together before, so I don't really know. It just was weird to me that they made such a production out of him sneezing through the whole episode.
And that could have been it. It could have been something to sidetrack and thinking that maybe we're looking for something that wasn't there either.
Yeah, exactly.
He's sick, and then he got better. Yeah, because if it wasn't him sick and he was trying to do something, then he wouldn't have been in the bed trying to help them out.
Right, right.
You know, he would have been at the computer doing something in the warehouse.
Right.
So that's why I was like, yeah, he's kind of sick, and gave him the red nose and everything else. And yeah, he's sick. It's not something that all of a sudden that he ingested or inhaled while in the warehouse.
Sorry.
Oh, man. Artie, that cold sounds like it's getting worse. You should be resting.
It's a very good idea, resting. If only I were paying somebody to help me with this kind of thing.
Bless you.
Oh. Oh, hi. Sorry.
Man! Bless you.
I've been doing a little digging to find... to find out what this beehive artifact actually does.
Hatshepsut.
Bless you.
What? No, that wasn't a sneeze. That was actually the female pharaoh's name.
What about her?
What about who?
You just said Hatshepsut.
Oh, no, that was a sneeze.
I think that's all I have.
I know, but we still use stealth. Just really, really fast stealth.
At the Civil War thing, Jinx really doesn't understand the way things work yet because he's getting sick of looking for this flask, and he doesn't understand why they just can't go and stop the reenactment, show their IDs, and grab it. You know, Claudia tells him, and she's told him this more than once, that that's not the way they operate. They have to go secretly as they can.
Right.
To retrieve these things. They can't just burst in and say, hey, we're from the warehouse. We're taking your flask. So,
just like, but, what warehouse?
Yeah. You were talking about Amanda's in-laws. I love the way she sicked the wedding party on her in-laws without realizing what she's done.
It's Michael's parents. His mother doesn't know how to end a sentence, let alone a conversation. Just do me a favor. I have to talk to my friends for a minute. So just take care of the Martins for me, all right? I don't care what you have to do. Just keep them away from me.
Yeah. You know,
keep them away from me. And, she, you know, she was saying that the mother doesn't know how to end a sentence.
No, I said, yeah.
Because I worked with somebody like that, and she just didn't know how to get out of a conversation, how to finish a conversation. And she'd start walking away, and then she'd come back. And it's like, stop. And it gets uncomfortable after a while because we're done talking. There's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
So I get that, totally. But then it was funny later on when her and her husband, her fiance, were going to look for his parents. She says, I can't wait to chat with your mother. I don't know if it was meant to be funny and Pete wasn't trying to be funny or being a jerk by correcting her, but he just always felt the need to correct her when she called it Univille.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, it was just a react. It wasn't a reaction. It was just like he had to correct it. He couldn't let it go every time.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't doing it to be a jerk. It's just she kept saying it wrong. It's like when somebody says your name wrong every time they say your name wrong. You know,
right?
You feel the need to correct it.
It's a promotion.
A promotion to Univille.
Univille.
Does this have something to do with your new job while you're in Univille?
Univille.
What you said back in Univille.
Univille.
Stop that.
Right.
But I thought it was cute because during the beginning, every time Pete talked to somebody on the Farnsworth, he did a Top Gun.
Reference. Yeah.
And nobody got it. Nobody. But she
I
remembered.
Watched it.
I never watched it either. I don't like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, me either.
But you know, it's been around so long, I kind of know some of the references just because it's been around so long. But it was really cute that when she came to the house, he said something and she said, oh, yeah, I remember your Maverick. So she knew the reference, whereas the people he lives with and works with every day have no idea what he's talking about.
Right. Well, like you said, though, they knew each other.
Very well, yeah.
Talk to me, Goose.
Goose.
Yeah, I'm Maverick. Get it?
No.
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby. You know, it kind of takes the fun out of things if I have to explain it.
Oh, I can see how that could happen.
Talk to me, Goose!
Huh?
What, did no one see Top Gun?
Takes two to screw up a tango.
Yeah, well, I was never really much of a Pacino. Always more of a Tom Cruise, you know.
Yeah, you're Maverick, I remember.
Thank you.
You know, you were talking about Claudia in the dress. And the reason she had to put the dress on was because she got killed. And they made her leave the reenactment because she's dead. So she comes back dressed as a different character. And she had a mini Tesla with her.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, that's right. Because she's always making stuff up. Or rebuilding stuff.
Oh, the mini Tesla? It's my own design. It's pretty cool, huh? Dude, that should be your drag name. Mini Tesla.
You know, after they realize that Amanda's been stung by the bee and her finger was the problem, they all start running around trying to solve the problem. I mean, if you knew Amanda's finger was the problem, wouldn't you cover it up, put a glove on it or something to make sure she didn't touch anybody by mistake as you're all running around with people jumping out at you?
Well, that's another, why did you put the hide down on yes. the table moment?
So I want to go back because, like I said, I'm behind on editing and I just finished the first episode of the season yesterday. The new guy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I realized something. It was like right in front of my face and I should have realized it and I missed it. You know how we were debating whether Sikowski was an FBI agent or not?
Uh-huh.
And this is because I totally keep forgetting about Steve's lying thing.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely now believe that she's an FBI agent because she said she was an FBI agent and Steve didn't pick up that she was lying. If she said she was an FBI agent and she wasn't, Steve would have picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
If you say something to him and it's a lie, he knows.
Well, what if she has something on her that makes the person believe she's telling the truth?
No, I totally missed all this. Because there was one point when she threw him out of the second crime scene. He said, so you're saying you don't know anything about the bank? And she said, no. And he said, you're lying.
Oh, okay.
But at the time, you assume, and I probably believe they assume, that it's just one government agency not telling another government agency, you know, how that works.
I understand now. Okay.
And I think that's why they tried to kill Steve and not Pete. I think that's why they picked Steve. Because he would know if they're lying. And she technically never said anything that was a lie. She's an FBI agent. It was her case. It was her crime scene.
Okay.
You know? So the only thing she said that was a lie was that she didn't know anything about the banks. And then we probably just assumed that it's just, you know, how one government agency doesn't want to share its secrets with another government agency.
Right.
Plus, at the time, they were throwing them out of the crime scene, so they didn't get to go into it any further. But he did say, you're lying. Now, if she had said, no, I don't work for a shady guy in a wheelchair, he would know she was lying. But
right.
Everything she said to them was the truth.
Truth, right, yeah.
But other than that, I think you hit everything I had in my notes, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you got everything.
Yep, I'm good.
But the sneezing still bothers me because I was sure that was something.
Yeah.
Oh, the one other thing was when Amanda did show up at the bed and breakfast, she did automatically assume that Pete was assigned there as a punishment.
Oh, yeah, she did say that. She did say that.
Yeah, because she was married to the drinking Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even imagine how annoying the drinking Pete would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing, too. I forgot she had his ball for backup, and he put that in his pocket.
Right, and so why didn't she just give it to him? What, was she going to keep it forever?
Well, I think with everything else going on, maybe she didn't think of it. Because, I don't know, sometimes you just don't want to hear it, even though he was trying to apologize. And I don't think not in a mean kind of way. But you're trying to hurry up to get stuff taken care of.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, he got the comic book. I got the ring back. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go. But do I think eventually she would have gave him the ball back? I believe so.
Or yeah.
It would have been the next time she came back. Oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot to give you your ball back. And then it would have been like, okay, so why are you here this time?
Exactly.
Oh, you got a divorce? You know what I mean? So, yeah, could be up in the air on that one, yeah.
Hey, Amanda.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell me why you're really here?
So we know that the reason that Steve became an ATF agent was because his sister was killed. What did the paper say? She was killed by a stray bullet? Was that it?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. He says that's what made him become an ATF agent.
Yeah.
So we got to imagine we'll hear more about that, too.
At some point.
And you know what? We're finally at an episode where I actually remembered the episode.
Yeah, I remember this one too.
Yeah, so maybe from now on I'll remember.
But I have to start watching it and go, oh yeah, I remember this now.
See, but the episode's up till now. I wasn't saying, oh yeah, I remember this now. It's weird how I could remember the characters and remember what the show's about, but I can't remember what they're doing or what they're up to.
Right.
So do you have anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. So we'll see you next week. Episode 5, I think. Is this 4?
Oh, God, I didn't even write that one down.
Why do I feel like Laverne?
Oh, no. You're not Laverne. I'm Laverne.
You're Shirley. Well, I am not Shirley.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for Season 3, Episode 5. 3, 2, 1. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse, on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com, or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.